I think we've discussed in the past what exactly happens on Esar Beteves that we get so upset about. The siege of Yerushalayim certainly is a major event, but if you look in the Slichos that we said this morning, all the different Piyutim, there's other stuff. We've spoken in the past about the death of Ezra HaSofer. There's a tradition, a hidden tradition we've spoken about that this is the birth according to the calendar of when the Christian God was born, and we're hiding that fact in our Piyutim as well. We've spoken about the siege of Yerushalayim, the translation of the Torah. So we've also mentioned before the Chiddush of Shlomo Fisher, that this is the day that the brothers sold Yosef into slavery. All types of fascinating different approaches to what happened on the 10th of Teves. So every year, almost every year, I want to read through a drasha of Rav Yonasan Eibeshitz that talks about the 10th of Teves, and I always get tripped up, and I'm not sure what he's talking about, and I get confused about what he's trying to say. But last night, I think I cracked the code, and I want to share with you really a beautiful insight from the Rebbe Rav Yonasan Eibeshitz, who certainly needs no introduction in his greatness and his fascinating life. But I want to share his perspective about the Chiddush, the secret of what occurred on Esar Beteves. The Navi Yecheskel in Perek Chaf Daled describes in the opening psukim the event, a description by Hashem to Yecheskel to record, to write down something that happened on the 10th of Teves, the siege of Yerushalayim, and he says to him to write it, not only what day of the month, the Etzem Hayom Azeh, what day of the month, but also he tells him the Shem Hayom, which day of the week, according to the Mefarshim. It's a funny thing that he tells him to write down the day of the month and which day of the week. Who cares which day of the week the Esar Beteves occurred? It seems to be irrelevant. So that's the question number one. Why do we care which day of the week it happened on? And the second question is that the entire episode in Yecheskel and Perek Chaf Daled is a mashal. About what? About a pot of food. And you have put water into the pot, and you add bones to the pot, and there's good meat, and there's cheap fleishigs, there's expensive fleishigs. It's a whole confusing, convoluted conversation here about how to cook a pot of stew, how to make a chalent. So what exactly is this mashal here about preparing this chalent pot that's going to cook quickly, as the Navi says? What exactly is the mashal over here? So says Rav Yonasan Eibeshitz, the pasuk in Tehillim says a pasuk we all know. Tzidkascha kareel mishpatecha tom rabba. The tzedek, the righteousness of Hashem, is like a mountain, but the mishpat of Hashem is tahom rabba. It's deep down in the ground. What does that mean? So he explains. All of the tzidkas, all of the wonderful, righteous, beautiful, happy things that Hashem does, we talk about publicly, we put it on banners, we speak about it publicly, that's wonderful. However, when it comes to things that are mishpat, din, judgment, harsh things that a Kadosh Baruch Hu brings to Jewish people, things that are unpleasant, we hide it. We don't like to talk about it. It's tahom rabba. We take the mishpat and we bury it deep in the ground. Therefore, the date of the Churban is never really laid out clearly. We always need to figure out these dates based on calculations, right? The Navi talks about the 10th month and this month and that month, but nobody ever says straight out, on this and this date, this occurred. Everything is always figured out through calculations. Why? Because mishpatecha tahom rabba. The mishpat, the bad things that Hashem does, we bury it. We make it a secret because we don't want to talk about all the terrible pain and suffering. Now, this is why the date is written, says Rav Yonasan Eibeshitz. He tells him, write it down, because if you write it down, you conceal it. It's not as public, and that's why it's couched in a mashal. The whole discussion here is in a mashal, a story, a parable about a prepared pot of food, because we want to hide the message over here. The reason why the date of the week is recorded, he says, is because it shows us that the siege was on Shabbos. The siege of Yerushalayim began on Shabbos. How do we know this? So he has a whole calculation. The Yerushalmi in Tainus says that the Churban was on the first of Av, the first base of Mikdash was destroyed on the first of Av, and the Gemara Tainus says that was Motzei Shabbos. So if you do the math working backwards, calculating Chaser, Malei, full months, 29 days, 30 days, so he says it comes out at the end of the day that the siege began on Shabbos. Now, the problem with this calculation, something we discussed before, is that he's assuming, and I think as many people often do assume, unless they go through the Psukim and the Navi, we're assuming that the siege occurred on the 10th of Teves, and then a few months later, on Tisha B'Av, is when the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. I think that's how many people play that out in their mind. That's not the case. The Navi is very clear that it took 3 years. The siege began on the 10th of Teves, and then 3 years later on the 9th of Av, or the 1st of Av, is when the Chorban began. So that calls into question Yonasan Eibeschitz's chiddush over here, but don't worry, the drush is still good. We can still continue. So he goes on to explain that the date of Asar B'Teves was in fact the worst possible of all dates based on the mazalos and the constellations and the stars and the planets of how they align. And this is not for right now. I'm not even sure I figured out exactly all of his calculations about why the 10th of Teves, according to which astrological sign, which day of the month, is the worst. We're going to skip that for right now. But he goes on to explain that this is the mushel of the pot of food. What's the mushel of the prepared pot of food? Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to know that this date was already prepared. We think, Asar B'Teves was a day that something bad happened. This tragedy happened to the Jewish people, and therefore we're fasting. It happened to come out on that date. No, he says, this date of the 10th of Teves was prepared way, way in advance as a day of tragedy and suffering because of something that occurred. It's like the pot of food that was prepared. Hashem said, I've been cooking this stew for a long time. This has been waiting and coming for a long time in order for this tragedy to occur. Everything was set in Shemayim with the worst possible mazel, so that we know that the Zman, that this time period, was already set for Ra, was set for bad things. And this is the translation of the Torah into Greek that we spoke about this morning in Slichos, the death of Ezra. All these days are predetermined for Ra, they're all predetermined for bad things. So, what was so bad? What occurred originally? What was the original thing in the fabric of time that led these dates to be terrible things? What caused it? So Rav Yonasan Eibeschitz says an important yesod in how all tragedy occurs. He says that chet that occurs in the past, sins that occur in the past, is what leads such time periods to be times of pain and suffering. It must be that there was a sin, there was an avera that occurred in the past that set in motion that this date on the calendar would be a time of pain and suffering. Chet causes zman peronios. Sin causes that this date should be a date which is suffering. Rachman al-San, we know over the last couple of days, there's been so much suffering here and so much pain. This is a time that apparently has been predetermined already that suffering occurs and tragedy is already built into the fabric of creation, because of something that occurred. The way to respond, he says, therefore, to pain and suffering is tshuva. Because tshuva, he asks the question, just because something bad happened, therefore I should do tshuva? Something bad happened. What's the connection? Something bad happened because chet occurred in the past. And if you do tshuva, it will undo whatever thing caused that this should be a time of pain and suffering. If there's a mazel ra, if there's bad mazel in the world, it means that something caused that to occur in time. So, he doesn't say this, but we can explain now the Rambam in Hilchos Tanyos. The Rambam in Hilchos Tanyos in Parakeh says that all fast days are times of tshuva. Why should that be the case? So it's obvious. Because all fast days, when something terrible occurred, it means that there was a chet in the past. And if we do tshuva, and we improve upon ourselves, then whatever caused this time period to be negative and sad and full of pain will eventually be reversed and will eventually go away. So he says, this is why the Navi tells, we all know that the Navi says that the fast of Asar B'Teves and Shavuot Asar B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av and Tzom Gedalia will eventually turn into time of what? Sason V'Simcha, right? It will turn into time of rejoicing. So says Rav Yonasan Eibeschitz, I understand, the math's not right. Why should something that was terrible turn into a time of rejoicing and happiness? It should be parav, right? I shouldn't turn it from fleishigs to milchigs. I'm not saying fleishigs and milchigs are bad or good. I'm just saying it shouldn't turn from one extreme to the other. We're just saying it should become parav, right? Tisha B'Av, a terrible tragedy occurred. Shavuot Asar B'Tammuz, Asar B'Teves, Tzom Gedalia. Those are times of terrible, terrible avelos. So the Mashiach will come, the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt. So why should become rejoicing? It should just be nothing, right? That should be the natural occurrence. It says no, because the Gemara in Yuma Daf Peivav tells us that when we do tshuva, it turns our averos, our sins, into zuchuyos. It turns them into merits. So it will go back. We'll do tshuva for Asar B'Teves. We'll do tshuva for Shavuot Asar B'Tammuz. And then what will happen? All of the averos that caused this day to be a day of suffering will now become mitzvos and will become a day of rejoicing. That, he says, is pshat, and why it becomes sason v'simcha, and not just a time that's parav and nothing after we do tshuva. So the question we should all be asking ourselves, we should be jumping out of our seats are, so what was the chait? What was the chait that occurred on Asara B'Teves that led it to this point? So as we mentioned before, Rav Shlomo Fisher writes in the Beis Yishai, the brother sold Yosef, we're going to go a different mahalach tonight. He says that it actually is the killing and the events of Cain and Hevel. He says the events of Cain and Hevel occurred in this time period. And he begins with the Medrash. Listen to this Medrash. The Medrash says in Brachos Rabbah, Vahimi Ketz Yamim, and it was after this time, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Elazar, Omer. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yeshua, have a machlokas about when the events of Cain and Hevel occurred. Rabbi Elazar, Omer, Rabbi Elazar says, B'tishrei never olam. In Tishrei, the world was created. We know this machlokas from Rosh Hashanah time, right? That in Tishrei, the world was created. Rabbi Yeshua, Omer, Rabbi Yeshua says, B'nisa never olam. No, the world is created in Nisan, Tishrei versus Nisan. Ah. Manda Amar B'Tishrei Niver Olam. According to the one who says that the world was created in the time of Tishrei, also Hevel Kayim Minachag B'Ad Chanukah, Hevel only lived from Sukkot until Chanukah. That's it. His whole lifespan was the first Sukkot until Chanukah. Manda Amar B'Nisan Niver Olam. But according to the one who says the world was created in Nisan, also Hevel Kayim Minach Pesach HaRatzaris. No. He only lived from Pesach until Atzeres, from Pesach until Shavuos. Ben l'divrei elu, ben l'divrei. Whether each opinion you want to follow, whether Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, whenever the world is created, Hakol Modim, everybody agrees, Shlo Asa Hevel Ba'olam, Yosr Mechamishim Yom. That Hevel did not live more than 50, his entire life was 50 days. Ask me a question. Ask me a question based on what I just said.
According to both dates, we don't hit us on the debate.
Okay, good. And ask it better. That's a good. We don't definitely not Asara B'Teves. Let's go one that's close, which is the Tishrei one, right? How many days from Sukkot till Chanukah? 50 days? No, much more. It's probably like in the 70s. What do you mean 50 days? What are you talking? What do you mean Elul Elul? 50 days? That's not true. It's not 50 days. So says Rav Yonasan Eibeshitz. He says this. I trust him. He says I found nobody asked this question on the Medrash. So he said, until his time period, nobody asked this question on the Medrash. How did they get to 50 days? So listen to this. This is a gonus. This is genius. He says that the time of Adam Arishon, the holiday of Sukkot, whatever that meant, the festival of Sukkot, wasn't in Tishrei. It wasn't in Tishrei. It was in Cheshvan. Sukkot was meant to be in Cheshvan. This is the Chag the Medrash is referring to. When it says Chag, it doesn't mean Sukkot. It means the Sukkot, not of Tishrei, but the Sukkot of Cheshvan. We know that Yeravam ben Nevat, the Melech HaRasha, wanted to move Sukkot because he wanted to prevent Jews from being Olah L'Regel, right? And when did he move Sukkot to? To Cheshvan. He moved Sukkot from Tishrei to Cheshvan so the Jews wouldn't be Olah L'Regel. How did he justify this? Because he knew that Ba'asad Lavo, Mashiach comes, Hashem is going to take Sukkot out of Tishrei, and he's going to move it into Cheshvan. How does he know that? Because the Medrash says so. The Yalkut Shimoni writes at the end of Sefer Yeshaya, Kishiyagia ha-keitz atem asidim liyos olim sham b'chol chodesh v'chodesh. When Mashiach comes, we will be olah l'regel every single month. It sounds very expensive. But every single month, we will be olah l'regel, not just 2 times a year, 12 times a year. How do we know? Shneamar v'haya midei chodesh b'chadsho. Because every single month you'll come before Hashem. And then the Medrash goes on to say, well, how does it come out? Let's do this together. The month of Nisan will have Pesach. The month of Iyar will have Pesach Sheni. The month of Sivan will have Shavuos. Shiva Asar v'Tammuz will become a holiday. Tisha B'Av will become a holiday in Av. Rosh Hashanah will be in Elul. Yom Kippur will be in Tishrei. Sukkot will be in Mar Cheshvan. Chanukah will be in Kislev, Asara B'Teves will become a Yantif, Tu B'Shvat will be in Shvat, and Purim will be in Adar. And every single month, says the Medrash, we will be Olah L'Regel to celebrate in Yerushalayim. That's what the Medrash says. Now, ask a question. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu not initially put Sukkot in Mar Cheshvan, if that's where Sukkot is intended to be at the end of the day? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want to bother Bnei Yisrael to be Olah L'Regel during the rainy season. So you put it in Tishrei, so it wouldn't be raining. But Yeshayahu writes in Perek Samech that what's going to happen when Mashiach comes, Mi'ela Ka'av Te'ufena, There will be no more clouds of rain, says Yeshayahu. Rain will not be an impediment for people traveling anymore when Mashiach comes, and therefore won't be an issue. And therefore, Hashem can pick up Sukkos and put it into Mar Cheshvan, and the problem is solved. Good? Now, let's plug it back in. We can just do the calculation. From the 15th of Cheshvan, which is now new Sukkos, until Chanukah is 50 days. The 16 days of Mar Cheshvan, the 24 days of Kislev until Chanukah. That's a total of 40. Another 8 days for Chanukah. That's another 8 days for Chanukah. The day after Chanukah, he says, is when Cain killed Hevel. The day after Chanukah is when Cain killed Hevel. That's when they brought their karbanos on the 50th day, is when he killed him. And therefore, Cain killed Hevel, he says, on Gimel Teves. The third of Teves is when the first murder occurred. And then, there was ordered to be Nav and Nud. He was ordered to travel throughout the land and to be, you know, a nomad, no place to go, as a form of tshuva. And that gzera occurred on the 10th of Teves. That's what Yonasan Abishud says. The time where he was sent into Gullus and he was sent away from his Avera was on the 10th of Teves. That's how he comes out with the calculation. So it's now, he says to Yonasan Abishud, it's now left up to us, the descendants of Cain, to fix this mistake. But instead, what happens? We'll get to that in a second. What happens at the end of the day? He says that, we're going to get to your question in a second. So he says, instead, there's murder, there's strife amongst Bnei Yisrael. We haven't learned the lesson of the first murder. And we fight, and we argue, and we get our emotions in the way, and we cause trouble, and we get in the way of ourselves in trying to become better people. The sin aschinam, he says, was too great to bear. Gadol avonam means so. The sin of what our sin aschinam is too great to bear. It's almost like we're replaying Cain and Hevel every single time we hurt another Jew. Every single time you embarrass somebody, you don't give a person the respect they deserve, you say something mean, you speak Lashon Hara, you are replaying Cain killing Hevel again and again and again. And when he said, Gadol avonim and so, that my sin is too great to bear, we should be saying, is our sin so great to bear that Mashiach cannot come? And then he says that his children were sent into Gullus to be Nav and Nud, just like he was sent into Gullus to be Nav and Nud. So then, what's the answer? How do we answer this? So he doesn't ask the question of the we are not descendants of Cain, we are descendants of Shase, right? So he says, Rashi says in Parshas Noach that Naamah was the descendant of Cain. So we all have a little bit of Cain in our DNA, okay? I'm sorry to tell you. If you did one of those 23andMe things, it would come up like, you know, some sort of percentage of Cain is in there. So Cain makes it in through Noach's wife. And this, he says, is why the Navi Yecheskel refers to Asar B'Tevis as Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, on that day. What is that day? What's Etzem Hayom Hazeh? That day when Cain killed Hevel. That's what happened. We have to relive that again because this is the day that Cain killed Hevel from the beginning of time. And that's when it was sealed, and we're still suffering to this day from the gullus that he had to go into, and we had to replay that gullus again. And he says, this is also why HaKadosh Baruch Hu refers to Yechezkel as Ben Adam, in that nevuah. He refers to him as Ben Adam in numerous nevuahs. But here he says, what's the idea that Yechezkel is Ben Adam? Because the Arizal writes in the Shara Gilgulim, the Yechezkel HaNavi is a Gilgul of Adam, a Gilgul of Cain. So when he says Ben Adam, he's saying you are literally Ben Adam Harishon. You are a descendant of Cain, the son of Cain. And therefore that's why he refers to him throughout the Navi as Ben Adam. So let's just take a moment to talk about, since this gives us a Pesach to open up to talk about Cain and Hevel, what went wrong in that episode? Obviously, a lot went wrong in that episode, and we're still dealing with the consequences to this day. But what went wrong in particular? Reb Chaim Shmulevitz writes in the Sichos Musar that if you look in the Targum and the Midrashim, essentially the passion of Cain got out of control. He was annoyed, his brother had something he didn't have, it didn't go according to plan, but he lost control of his Yetzer. He was not in control of who he was, his passion, his anger, his intensity, he was unable to keep it together. And says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, this is an important lesson for each and every one of us as well, that we have to be so careful, so careful, to not let our passion, our intensity, whatever it may be, for right or for wrong, to get in the way. It could be that Cain was right to be annoyed at Hevel, what happened, and all the things that occurred. Maybe that's right. But you have to keep it in check, says Reb Chaim Shlomitz. You can't let your anger, you can't let your emotions burst out to the point where you say things that you can't take back, you send an email that you can't pull back anymore, you use your physicality in a way that you can't take back anymore. You have to be in check of your emotions at all time. And that's what happened by Cain and Hevel. Cain was upset. Maybe he was right to get upset, maybe he was wrong to get upset. That's not the point. The point is that in his state of being upset, he was out of control. And he let it go, and he wasn't the person he should have been at that time. He was angry, he was confused, and his Yetzer Hara got the best of him. Loss of control in Beinam Chavero, I think, is such a good midah to walk away from Asar B'Teves with. To work on this idea. You know, you have people who, they're regimented, they get up early in the morning to go to shul, and they're there for the daf, and they make sure that they have the most beautiful mitzvos, and everything is so punctilious, and everything is so perfect in their Bein Adam L'Makom. But when it comes to Bein Adam L'Chavero, where is it? We seem to have two different pedestals that we seem to be working with. You have to be so, so careful. Perhaps a midah that myself and everyone we can work upon is control in our Bein Adam L'Chavero. When we have that email, that text we want to send out to somebody, you have to wait a second, sleep on it overnight. We've said this before, but here, and then I heard this from Rabbi Eli Mansour, when it comes to emails and texts, Hakol Kol Yaakov, the Yadayim de Esav, right? A person will say things to somebody, they'll sound like a Yaakov Vino, but their fingers get on a keyboard, they have the hands of Esav, right? They'll say terrible things they would never say to a person's face. Why? Because their passion, their intensity, the Yetzahar of Kain and their Beinam L'Chavero gets in the way. Righteous indignation. I have to put this person in their place. I have to tell them how they feel. And if I don't tell them what they're doing wrong, they're never going to correct themselves and they're never going to become a Ben Adam. And I'm going to correct this person at the end of the day. People can be the greatest people in Bein Adam L'Makom, but they could be a terror Bein Adam L'Chavero. There's an idea that Rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Torsky often brings in his books on therapy and psychology, is an idea that he happens to love very much from Reb Chaim Vital. Reb Chaim Vital, you know, Gedolei Talmidim of the Arizal, the greatest of the Talmidim of the Arizal, writes that a person is going to go before the Kisei HaKavod at the end of the day, before the Beis Shamala, and they're going to think they have all these mitzvahs, all these zechuyos. They're going to be all the davenings they did, and the pages of the Gemara they learned, and all the chesed they did outside the house. And by the Kisei HaKavod, they're going to say, by the Beis Shamala, they're going to say, I don't know. I don't know if there's space for you over here. Why? Because you were a terror in your household. The children in your household, your spouse, when nobody else was looking, you were a terror, and your Bein Adam L'Chaver was out of control. When people were looking, you were the nicest guy, you said the sweetest things, you ran around doing chesed, helping this person, going there. But when nobody else was looking, you were a terror in your house. It says Reb Chaim Vital, that person's going to have a little extra push to get himself into Gan Eden at the end of the day. We have to be so careful to not make sure our passions get in the way. Talking with our children, talking with our spouse, to make sure we're in check of our emotions. It's a proper to disagree. You can have different opinions, different perspectives. It's 100% correct to disagree and to say your opinion and to defend yourself and to tell another person they're making a mistake. But it has to be in control. Because if it's not in control, says Reb Chaim Shlomitz, we could be in a case of Cain and Hevel. Not necessarily literally taking somebody's life, but taking their life in a way, in an emotional way. So something to, as we walk away from another Asar B'Teves, to remember perhaps, according to the Rebbe of Yonasan Eibeshitz, that this was a time where Cain killed Hevel, and perhaps we're still suffering for that chait. This turning into a Zman of Peronios, a time of pain, till this day. Okay, we'll stop here.